Hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Florida Building Commission's concurrent meeting of the Code Administration and Fire Technical Advisory Committees. First, I'd like to talk about our teleconference process, which is please keep your phone on mute. Don't put your phone on hold. It'll play background music. Be aware that everything you do in the background, especially if you're on a speakerphone, will be amplified. Please wait until invited to speak so that we'll stack your name in order. And please state your name when you do speak, and TAC members, when you make motions, please state your name for making the motion, and also those the member who makes the second should offer their name as well. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to, after we introduce everybody in Tallahassee, what I'm going to do is open up the Code Administration TAC meeting first by doing a roll call and then asking for the chair to approve the agenda in the minutes. Stopping, going over to the fire TAC, conducting a roll call to ensure we have a quorum and doing the same thing, approve the minutes and the agenda, and then we'll have both meetings open concurrently. So let's go ahead and introduce those of us here in Tallahassee.
Jim Hammers.
Tom Campbell.
Chris Helmer.
Justin Vogel.
Marlita Peters.
Mo Madani.
And I'm Jeff Blair. All right, going to our code admin TAC, Commissioner Gerwig.
Here.
Okay. Commissioner Bahadori.
Here.
All right. Commissioner Boyer.
Here.
Commissioner Brown.
Here.
Commissioner Gilson.
He's absent today.
Commissioner Goff.
Here.
Michael Guaracio.
Here.
Linda Patrick for John O'Connor.
Here.
And Commissioner Worrell.
Here.
Okay, so we have nine of 10 members constituting a quorum for the Code Administration TAC. All right, so the first order of business is to approve today's agenda, which is to approve the minutes from the last meeting and then to accept the interim draft report of the cost impact benefits 2018 ICO changes prescriptive, and then to receive a status update on the review process 2018 ICODs, as well as the TAC consideration process for the same. Take any general public. Somebody's on okay. And that's the agenda. So, Commissioner Gerwig, if you'd ask for a motion to approve the agenda as posted, please, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda for today?
Yeah, no, it's approval.
We have a second?
Second, Diana Worrell.
Okay, all in favor say aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, do we have does anyone have any questions about the meeting minutes from March 28th? Seeing none,
just came in late.
Sorry, who was that?
To approve the meeting minutes from March 28th.
So moved, Diana Worrell.
Do we have a second?
Second, Commissioner Amberger.
All in favor, say aye.
Wait, 1 second. Sorry.
Aye.
Got it. Sorry. Commissioner Humberger, I think you're on the fire TAC, so we're looking for a code admin TAC to person.
I'll check it. Sorry.
Who made the second?
Well.
Brown, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. All in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
All right, that's the name, please. Jeff, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Commissioner. All right, going to our fire TAC. Somebody said that they had just come on the call. Were you a member of the code admin TAC, which would only be Commissioner Gilson?
No, Chamberlain.
Okay. All right, fire TAC. First order is Commissioner Bahadori.
Hey, Jeff, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Hamid. So you're here. Very good. Tony Applebeck.
Yeah. Right. Applebeck's present.
Is that his? All right. Commissioner Gross?
I'm here, Jeff.
Very good. Commissioner Humberger?
Present.
All right. Joe Holland? surprising. Commissioner Schiffer?
I'm on.
Commissioner Schock?
I'm here.
And Peter Schwab? All right, so we have six of nine, which is a quorum. Let me just check one more. Oh, Joe Belcher, I missed
Jeff?
You.
Jeff?
Joe Belcher, are you on?
Yeah. I'm on.
All right. So
got me?
I do, yeah, sorry. So Holland or Schwab, are either of you on?
Holland just signed in.
He did?
Yeah, he signed in right now.
All right, sounds like Joe Holland's about to join the call. So, Joe, are you on yet? All right, well, we'll monitor that. So we have seven. It sounds like we'll have eight in a second. All right, so today's agenda for the fire TAC is to approve the minutes from the last meeting and to accept an interim report on the cost impact benefit of 2018 ICO changes prescriptive, to receive an update on the process for the ICO changes as well as the TAC review process for the same, take any general TAC and or public comment. Commissioner Bahadori, would you ask for a motion, please, to approve the agenda as it was posted? Since you're driving.
Yeah, I'm driving, yeah.
Why don't I go ahead and do it for you then? All right, is there a motion?
Go ahead, please, Jeff.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as posted?
Applebeck, so moved.
Schiffer, second.
Second.
So motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
It's unanimous.
Pete Schwab just joined. Sorry for the delay.
Okay, so we have Pete, and you voted, so that makes eight people. Did Joe Holland join as well? Okay.
Show it here.
It's all right. So are there any revisions or additions to the March 18 minutes that were posted? If not, is there a motion?
Belcher has a revision.
Okay.
I'll make a motion as revised. I move approval with just one small change. To change where it says item 1E, to make that item task 1E. That's identified on page 2 of the minutes. And when you look at the report, you've got some other listings of 1E, like the literature listing and stuff, just to make sure there's no confusion. The report actually called it task 1E.
Very good.
That makes sense?
Yes, it does. They're saying they understand.
No problem.
Make the change.
We'll make the change.
Is there a second?
Applebeck, second.
A motion and a second to approve the minutes as amended to incorporate Mr. Belcher's comment. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay. We've approved the agenda minutes for both groups, and we are now open, conducting business with quorums. First order of business is to provide an update on the 2018 ICO changes. Mo?
Yes, good morning, gang. Yeah, good afternoon. I know everybody is anxious for the afternoon, so we don't want to take that away. Okay, this is Mohamed Dani. The first item, which is evaluation of the cost impact of the 2018 ICC prescriptive code changes. This project is similar to the one we did for the 2017 code, where we hired University of Florida to review the ICO changes and mainly do a cost analysis on those code changes that's prescriptive in nature. The project was approved by the commission last August as part of the 2017-2018 research program. The objective of the research project, as I stated, is to really evaluate the cost impact of those ICO code changes that are prescriptive in nature. And we're looking for both the cost and benefit of those code changes. And with us today on the line is Dr. Issa, University of Florida, to give us a status of the work. Thank you. Dr. Issa?
Good afternoon, everybody. So we're going to be talking about the evaluation of the cost, impact, and benefit of the 2018 IBT prescriptive code changes. This is the research team. On this part of the fire protection, we have Mark Abbey and Steve Welch from Coughlin Associates. First, I want to elaborate on the 3D building information modeling that we're going to be using. It's an intelligent 3D model with embedded information, specifications for all the materials, system selections of a project, as well as their associated properties. So we can use that to extract quantities and facilitate virtual collaboration among the parties. So we're taking the structure, the architecture, the plumbing, the HVAC, the electrical, and the fire protection models and integrate them and coordinate them into one model to come up. This is a representation of the HVAC system in the building. That's a cut through the building showing the systems all in place. Same here. This is showing the systems by making all the walls in the building transparent. So as far as quantity is concerned, so if we have a steel structure, we can use the system to come up with a quantity of steel. There's a bunch of fields we can add to it, and we can use those export those quantities to spreadsheets where we can easily manipulate them. So the issues here we're looking at is to look at the cost impact of the 2018 International Building Code changes that are prescriptive in nature and have the potential adding cost to any construction activity. So the first step in the statement of work is to look at the code changes as well as the I-code changes as well as the NEC changes to identify those code changes, provisions that are prescriptive in nature and have the potential adding cost to construction. Look at number two is to look at available literature and see how others have done it. Number three is to estimate the construction cost impact of those provisions that are not covered under two, using good engineering judgment and feedback from GCs and consulting engineers. Number four is to use a standard set of baseline residential and commercial building design, configure for the I codes, determine the cost impact of code changes. So we use seven buildings, two residential. The residential was a one-story house and a two-story house. The commercial buildings were small elementary school, a standalone retail building, a small hotel, a small office building, and a high-rise apartment building. We used those systems to come up with the material quantities and exported those quantities to Excel, and then we went about costing them using our mean cost data, big box retailers cost data, and our best judgment. So the deliverables were a report on April the 15th and a final report on June 1st. So some of the observations we had was that approximately 67% of the code changes resulted in no cost impact. The remaining code changes identified as a decrease or increased cost impact resulted in 7% of them were decreasing cost, and 27% of them resulted in an increase in cost. So roughly speaking, the decreases added up to about $334,000, increases to $1,430. For the IBC changes, the reference other ICC codes, RNFPA 1, 70, or 101, a cursory review of the respective ICC codes or the aforementioned NFPA code or standard section that's referenced by the IBC change was reviewed, or the degree to which it affects the cost impact to the five commercial buildings. Such reference code and standard changes imposing a significant cost impact are included in the summary table. So here we'll look at the table. The numbers in red and parentheses are decreases in cost, and the others are increases in cost. So we're looking at this is a monastery, for example, the first one, and it has a $50,000 decrease in cost. We have a self-storage facility, has an S1 occupancy, and we're making S1 occupancy, so that's a $25,000 per floor. There was a modified group H2, H3, H5 high-rise occupancies are no longer allowed. The reduction to type 2A construction, or that was estimated at $100,000 change. Then we had fire pumps in underground buildings are now required to be on emergency power load in lieu of standby. That's a $25,000 per pump estimate. R2 cooking appliances requirements were added, which is about a $15,000. A kitchen requirements and added for cooking areas in group R2 dormitories. That's about $15,000 per kitchen. Requires ambulatory care facilities to comply with NFPA 99. which will require an electrical system, essential electrical system and a generator. That's about $250,000. Then we have new language provides additional clarification on how to occupy load of a storm shelter is calculated and located. We see that's a $50,000 increase. We also saw some decreases, like we mentioned earlier. So laboratories and university-type occupancy, for example, the change resulted in a $25,000 increase for lab. Mezzanines and dwelling units was a $4,000 decrease in cost. Roofs over 20 foot do not require the primary structure frame to be fire rated. That's a decrease of $50,000. We can have a recycling and a trash chute in the same shaft, which reduced the cost by $100,000 per chute. Sections were added to coordinate integrated testing, especially for smoke control systems and high rising. And the high rises, that's a $2,000 per story. Then we had a clarification that resulted in a $10,000 per room cost for fire pump rooms should be required for automatic sprinkler riser rooms, the same size as a fire pump room. You would need the same size room for the fire sprinkler rooms. And then we had a new section added for sprinkler requirements in FPA 113R system for attics that resulted in $5,000 for dry pipe valves and feed or $50,000 for 10,000 square foot of attic space. Then you have set fire protection system required for cooking areas in group R2 dormitories. That's $15,000 for kitchen requirements. Class 3 standpipe system is now required for buildings that are 4 stories regardless of height. That's a $25,000 for a riser. Then the fire code official is authorized to require locking caps on the outlets of dry standpipes. That's about $100,000 for outlets. And the fire extinguishers are not required within 30 foot of domestic cooking equipment in group R2 dormitories. That's about $250 per location. You have in buildings with occupied floor more than 120 feet above the lowest level of fire department vehicle access, voice evacuation system for high-rise buildings that will be multiple channels. So that's about $2,000 per floor increase. The new section is providing gas detection system at $5,000. And there was a provision that says prior to the construction of the new building requiring a fire alarm system on a multiple building, college or university campus, having a cumulative building occupant load of 1,000 or more, a massive petition risk analysis shall be conducted in accordance with FPA 72. That's $15,000 or $75,000 per system per building. Then he has a decreasing cost of $50,000. These were changes to the occupant load factor of a business to 150 square foot per person. They also add a line item on when concentrated business used at 50 square foot per person is required. Then there was an exception to buildings equipped throughout with automatic sprinklers do not require fire rated construction in the exterior area of assisted rescue. That reduces the cost by $15,000 per area. 1010.3 was modified so that the section changed through and new sections have been added, including turnstiles of similar devices, limits each turnstile to 50-person egress capacity as required for security access turnstiles. That's about $1,000 for individual turnstile. An exception was added that the separation between the interior exit stairway or ramp and the access passageway extension shall not be required by the where the interior exit stairway and the exit passageway extension are pressurized. That's a saving of $10,000 per stair. The minimum width of 1 inch for obstacles shall not apply to markings listed in accordance with UL 1994. That's a $10,000 decrease. It removes the requirement to provide a guardrail where a seat.
Can I interrupt for a minute? It's Tony Applebeck.
Yes.
Do we need to go ahead? As far as I'm concerned, I don't need to go through an item by item list of these. It's already reflected within the report, unless there's something that's been a modification for the report. I'm again, that's my opinion. I'm not speaking for the rest of the.
Okay, well, that's my opinion also. So we've reached the questions part of it.
Hey, that was really, that was a fantastic transition, Tony. Well done.
We had a meeting of the minds here.
All right. Does any TAC member have any questions of or comments regarding Dr. Issa's report? All right.
This is Linda Patrick. I did go over the report, and where you have possible correlation between, say, the mechanical code change where it talks about the in the R2, and then where you got it on the building side, did you double dip as far as for adding those increases, or did you correlate anywhere where there might have been similar changes in various code additions that would be considered double dipping?
No, but what we have is we listed each independently, and when you apply them to the building, that's where you make those decisions.
So if it was in
exhaustive listing of everything.
Right. I understand that each code item was, but what I'm asking is did you take into consideration where it might be on the building side and it might also be on the fire side, and were those added concurrently instead of just being added for just that device or application?
No, we didn't. So what I'm saying is when we're applying it on the building side and then we're applying it on the fire side, at that point in time, that decision will be made. So when we're determining the total cost of the building.
So the will the valuation only reflect one line item instead of two if it's the same thing?
Yes, only one.
Okay, and my second question is that you discuss reduction quite a bit in your report, but did you include those reductions in your total value?
We haven't gotten to the total value of the construction yet.
Okay, but you notate in your report that it could increase these values from, I don't have it directly.
Yeah, 340 and 1.43.
Right, so you're saying that that's an increase of valuation, but that really doesn't necessarily reflect any decrease of code reduction, not necessarily code reduction.
No,
but
I was saying if you just add all the positive items, you get 1.43. If you add all the negative items, you get 340 without looking at applications.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other TAC member have any questions or comments?
Jeff, this is Brad Schiffer, and this is a question to Mo. Mo, are we going to link from the matrix to these cost items?
The answer is no. Really, the research projects, that's really a research project available for you guys to look through during the process. The analysis of the code changes and what we have done, really we're limiting that to the monograph and what presented by the monographs at the national level. So the answer to your question would no, but the information will be available or available to you guys through our websites and all that.
Okay, thanks.
Cool.
All right, any other TAC members have questions? All right, does any member of the public have any questions or comments? All right, I'm going to go to the Code Administration TAC and ask Commissioner Gerwig to ask for a motion to accept the interim report as it was presented.
Okay, TAC members, do we have a motion to accept the interim draft report for the research project titled Evaluation of the Cost, Impact, and Benefits of the 2018 I-Code Changes?
Brown moves
approval. Okay, do we have a second?
Second, Schock.
Brown and Schock.
Did you have a second from the, from the code admin tag?
Yes, sir, we did, Commissioner. Oh. No, you're right, we didn't. We need somebody from the code admin tag. That's a good catch.
Linda Patrick, I'll second it, but I also would like to make a comment too, please.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Patrick. Is there any discussion on the motion?
When I read over the actual report that was provided to us, I noticed some errors in there. Some of them were grammatical, but specifically on page one, the bottom sentence of efforts will be made to provide a preliminary draft report by 15 March 2015. I think that's a little out of date.
Yeah, you're correct.
So if it could be reread for some grammatical changes and correction on page one, I would appreciate that. Okay. I would hate for this to become public and have those in there, especially right. Being from Gainesville myself and representing part of UF.
Okay.
All right, so the motion would be would the maker of the motion accept the revision to incorporate the editorial change with the understanding that this is an interim report and additional changes will be made as needed.
Mr. Brown.
Commissioner Brown, is that agreeable to your motion, sir?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Very good.
Go. Thank you, Commissioner. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Very good. Commissioner Bahadori, are you at a place to call the motion, or do you want me to do that?
Yeah, I can do that now, Jeff.
Very good.
Thank you. I'd like to entertain the motion to accept the preliminary report to the FARPAC.
Applebeck so moved, consistent with the same recommended comment that was made by the Code Administration Act.
Hamburger, second.
Yep. Motion and second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Who was the second?
Who made the second, please?
Unanimously.
Hamburger.
Jeff.
Oh, that's right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, Mr. Commissioner Bahadori. All right. Both TACs have accepted the interim report as revised to incorporate revisions as needed, and now we'll do the status update on ICO changes. It'll be done by three people. Mo will start, then I'll do a piece, and then Tom Campbell will do the final piece.
Good afternoon. Mo Medani, and as Jeff stated, go over item number five, and which is really to provide a status update on review process of the 2018 I-code. And I'm going to click on the link, and that will take you to our code mod page, which has all the good information for the code development process for the 2020 for the building code and the prior codes. The first part, as you see in the screen, is the a metrics which outline the code changes, the 2018 code changes, broken down by subcodes and by tags. So it shows what really each tag will be taken up in June with regard to the reviewing the 2018 ICO changes. And I want to start with is the development and adoption process for the 7th edition 2020 update to the FPC. This PowerPoint presentation was presented to the Florida Building Commission in April, and it was approved at that time. So in terms of the future update of the Florida Building Code, as you know, Florida Statute 553.73, As you know, for the statute 553.73 was revised to mainly mandate that the Florida Building Code be updated every 3 years, but the updates and how to go about the updated the codes is to mainly use as a foundation the 2017 Florida Building Code, the current code, and at the same time, it requires that current updates to the I codes, in this case the 2018 changes to the I code, be also reviewed, and in addition to those changes to the NEC. Sorry for the noise. I'll try to do my best to be loud enough. Okay, Scott. Because of the review as required by law of the 2018 changes to the I codes, now the updated process for the Florida Building Code will consist of two steps. Step one would be to review the 2018 update to the International Building Code, and step two is the triannual code change process, which is what we normally have done to update the Florida Building Code throughout the history of the Florida Building Code. For step one, review of the 2018 update to the International Building Code, I Code, this review is started January 2nd, 2018. As you recall, we have informed everybody that the 2018 I code was available for review, along with the 2018 IBC resource handbook, which has within it the monographs for all the approved 2018 I code changes. Also, we have made available to you through a link to the NFPA website, the 2017 National Electric Code, and the 2017 NEC changes. And if you go to our website or through these links, you, like for example, will take you to the ICC website where you can find access the 2018 I codes along with the handbook for each subcode, which provide for the approved I code changes or the monographs for the I code changes. In terms of the review and the number of the code changes to be reviewed, there's a total give and take of 1,300 code changes. The FireTAC has the majority the largest amount of code changes to review, which is in this case, as you see, is 334. The structural fact comes second, 275. And then the plumbing tack is 201, energy tack 192. The electrical tack and the swimming pool tack, they will review the electrical requirement, but their focus mostly would be on the electrical changes to the IRC. As you know, there is within the IRC, there's a number of chapters there that's really provide for electrical requirement for one and two family dwellings and so on. The proposed scope of work, this is really what we have been doing to really put together materials to facilitate the review of the code changes. It's mainly we going to use the tracking charts approach along with the linking of those tracking charts to the manographs, the ICC manographs. So at the meetings, you will have available to you all the resources needed to really review the 2018 ICO changes. The tracking charts it will provide for the following. The code change number is established at the I-code level. Code section, change summary between the 2015 I-code and the 2018 I-code, including statements of cost impact. This is really just to give you a short summary of the code change and also the cost impact statements as given in the monographs. So we are not really making anything from our end. So we extracted those summaries and the cost impact verbatim from the monographs. Change summary between the 2017 FPC and the 2018 ICODE. This is really, it'll give you a summary when there is a Florida-specific code change that need to be considered as we consider the change to the 2018 ICODE changes. Staff through the tracking chart will indicate whether there is a Florida-specific change, which is will be classified as overlapping in this case of an existing Florida-specific change. Also, we will hyperlink within from the tracking chart to the monographs, the I-code monographs. In terms of the fire correlation between the Florida Fire Prevention Code and the Florida Building Code, we will continue to do that as required by law. As you recall, throughout the years, we used to sit down and go through the reviewing the Florida Fire Prevention Code and the Florida Building Code, and we try to see if we can make them consistent. After the 2010 edition, we decided that the best thing to do is to focus on specific conflicts, those conflicts that means the construction specifications, such as the dimensions in one code that would prevent compliance with the other code. So we're looking for just those specifications, construction specification that could be a problem, and that's what we have done for the 2014-2017 code and so on. We'll continue the same philosophy at this point for the 2020 code. National Electric Code 2017, we will consider the NEC as a reference standard, and that's really consistent with how the Florida Fire Prevention Code have addressed the NEC, and also similar to the Florida Building Code, as you know, chapter 27 of the Florida Building Code, building adopt the NEC by reference. However, as I mentioned earlier, the changes to the 2017 NEC are also available for review by using the link provided from our website to the NFBA website. In terms of step two, the triannual code change process is the same process that we have used before, except that at this point, the foundation that you will be commenting or proposing code changes on is the 2017 Florida Building Code. And also, you can propose code changes on the 2018 changes to the I-Code, those that approved by the Commission, or those ones that may be not approved and you would like to bring them in. So you can still do that under the triennial code change process. Also, in terms of those code changes of the I-code that conflict, or there is a Florida-specific code change overlapping such provisions, We feel those also will be done through the triannual code change process. So interested group, we encourage them to really look at those for the specific changes and also the ICO changes and see if they wanted to really harmonize the two and submit a code change to address both. And also staff and also would look at those for the specific changes that is for the statute specific, and we'll try to really mainly merge them to the a specific section of the I code from the 2018 and propose them through the triannual code change process. It changes to the NEC, again, that's a standard. So somebody could submit a code change to the NEC too during the triannual code change process. Other as deemed necessary. Anybody could bring in new subjects or new topics or what have you and propose a code change. Any question about this PowerPoint presentation? About the process and all that?
Does any staff member have a question or comment? All right. Does any member of the public? All right. Let's do the next piece, Mom.
All right. Yes. Good. Let's see. Let's go into closing this. And the next one, next things I want to do is to show you an ensemble of the tracking charts along with how it's linked to the manograph. First of all the tracking charts will have a warning saying the materials as used in this in the documentations before you, those all are copyrighted, and if you anybody wanted to really use it for other than reviewing the code changes, it would be best for you to really call the International Code Council, ICC, and get their permission. But the permission was given to us only to allow us to use the manographs and the information for conducting our code change process. And so I hope you respect that. So, okay, next is the, this is really how the tracking charts would look like. First, as I mentioned, it will have the ID of the code change, RM1-15. It will have a code section, M1305.1.4.2, example, and also have the summary of the code change and a cost impact as presented in the monographs of the ICC. And also says that same change between the 2015 IRC and the 2018 IRC, meaning that there is no further specific change involved here, and mainly change to from one code addition to the second to the next. And if you click on the number here, RM115, it'll take you to the monographs. Here's what really this is from the ICC code change process. It would give you the all the background information about the code change, and we have a back button. It will take you back to the to the tracking chart. Also, we have created an action template where we will record the TAC action, the commission action, and so on. So, in this case, the TAC action, if the TAC feels that this code change is needed, so we have what you call accommodated for the specific need. So in order for the code change to be proposed for recommendation, it has to you have to specify that it's accommodated for the specific need. And also we have included under each page of the tracking chart a section of Rule 61G 20-2.002, which give you the criteria for what is really considered to be a Florida, accommodating Florida specific need. And I think Jeff is gonna, will go over that and Tom in more detail. So the other thing is that, as you see, there is what you call impactful, and that's really tied to the residential construction cost impact work group. This group was appointed by the commission, and give, you know, and they will be mainly reviewing the tax recommendation with regard to the residential code, and look for code and provide comment on those code changes that are impactful code changes. And also, as you see, there is also, in terms of actions, there's no action needed. Sometimes, especially that covers code changes from the I code that either doesn't apply to Florida, like the seismic or the snow, or maybe doesn't really, or accessibility requirement that doesn't really, we normally defer to the accessibility code, or so on. So as staff will have a note given to clarify why there is no action needed on the tracking chart. With regard to the second modification, RM15-15, as you see, we provide the summary and cost impact, but also we state that, hey, you know, for this one, there's a Florida specific requirement, and because there's an overlapping provision here, it should be considered during the triannual code change process. So we don't take action on this and this code change in this case. And if you click on the number, you will take you to the monograph, and also you will see, as you scroll down, you will see the Florida specific change is for information. And if you click on the back button, that back button take you back to the tracking charts. So that's what I have for this part. Any question?
Does any TAC member have any questions or comments? Does any member of the public? All right, Mo, let's go to our next piece.
Now, next part I'm going to talk about is work plan. This work plan was approved by the commission last April. And the work plan mainly give you the timeline and when we're going to do certain things. So, as I said, the review of the code changes to the 2018 I-code started when we published them on our website, which was January 2nd, 2018. Comes May 1st, which is next week, we will upload into our website the tracking charts along with the manographs, hyperlinks to them, and we'll have, you'll have everything for you to download and for review before the June meeting. In June, which is June 7th to the 22nd, all the TACs will meet to review the 2018 changes as allocated in the metrics that I presented to you earlier, and then July 29th, Terry, the residential construction cost impact work group will meet to mainly review tax recommendation and provide comment to the commission regarding impactful code changes. And then the commission meets on October 8, 2018 to take up the tax recommendation. The meeting will be like 8 and 9th, where there's probably will consist of 2 days. Let's see, the triannual code change process, which is step 2, we will open the cycle November 2nd and we'll close on December 15th. So you'll have about a month, more than 1 month, to propose code changes to the triennial code change process. And then, as you know, with the triennial, we go through two steps. One is the first 45-day comment period and the second 45 comment period and so on, and then hoping that all goes well and we'll be able to mainly have the 2020 FBC go into effect December 31st, 2020. Any question on the timeline?
Anybody have any questions? All right.
No questions. We'll go. Last piece I have is the meeting metrics or schedule. This is really the meeting schedule that, as you see, all meetings, tech meetings, will be on site and will take place in June. So the first meeting for the tech will be the special occupancy, June 8th. And it's going to be in Tallahassee at the Betty Easley Conference Center. Then the week after that will be the week of June 11th, electrical swimming pool and electrical tech will meet. And also on the June 12th, the plenary session of the commission will take place, and then in the afternoon, the code admin tech will meet. And then on the 13th, we have the 14th, structural tech will meet, and on the 15th, roofing tech will meet. The week after that, which is the week of the 18th, the energy tech will meet on the 18th. The 19th, the mechanical, 20 is the plumbing, 21st and 22nd is the meaning of the fire tech. And this week, the meeting will take place at the Daytona Beach for the week before Ottoman Spring. That's what I have for you with regard to the schedule. Now, any question about the schedule?
Do they have any questions? Okay.
All right. Now, Jeff will give you...
Did you want to show them that other piece first, Bob?
Okay, we can show them again. No problem. This here, this is really the... I hope that you'll have the opportunity to go and look through it. This is mainly give you the tracking charts without the link to the man graph, but it at least tell you the allocations of the code changes and how many each tech will take by code subject and so on. The next week we will have this metrics filled in, which will give you the tracking chart hyperlinked to the mana graph. And
okay.
So this is really what I have for you.
If you click on that document for me.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. All right. Okay, let's click the line. And here, Jeff, and you want to start with public comment.
Right, thanks, Matt. Okay, so this is the process the commission adopted for the June TAC code review of the 20 ICO changes for consideration of the 2020 code update process. We'll follow our normal general process of one person speaking at a time, 3 minutes per person, not repeating points of view, offering new points, etc. And then specifically the public comment process for this will work. I will introduce each by TAC, each page of a matrix, and I'll ask I'll ask if any TAC member intends to make a recommendation for any of those, just to signal to the public without discussion, when we go to public comment, they'll know whether they need to make a comment or not. And then we'll go to the public. The public will be invited to speak on that set of changes. The presumption the TAC will operate under is that if there is no public comment, that means the public is not in favor of making any changes. So mostly people who will be speaking will be proposing that the TAC consider making the change, so that the presumption is if not, then there's not support for making that particular change. So we'll introduce each of those. It'll be 3 minutes per person. If there's pros and cons, we'll go pros first, cons second. We'll offer one opportunity for point-counterpoint like we've done traditionally, one collective opportunity, and we'll provide time limits for those as well. In addition, and I think importantly, is that the members of the public who wish to comment should address in their comments why they think, if they're speaking in favor, of course, why they think the TAC should recommend including the change in the 2020 code. And I'll explain the criteria which the TAC will use, which, of course, the public should be using the same rationale and basis per statute and rule. The TAC process is if a TAC member wishes to make a recommendation on any specific code change, they'll make a motion. There'll have to be a second and then a discussion. We've already heard from the public. If there is no motion, then we just proceed on to the next to the next change or next page in order. There are no motions to deny per commission rules. And the TAC must decide on the 2018 I-code changes exactly as submitted. There cannot be any changes to those. As Mo described, if anybody wants to make any changes, they should do that during phase two, which is the triennial code update process. So if a TAC member does wish to make a motion to recommend that the commission accept a specific I-code change, they would need to address or identify why the change is needed to accommodate the specific needs of the state, and address using the relevant criteria per rule and statute, and I won't read them because you can read them as well as I, but establish a minimum life safety, provide for flood protection, maintain eligibility for federal funding for NFIP, FEMA, and HUD, to provide energy efficiency pursuant to Title III, maintain coordination with the Florida Fire Prevention Code, and provide for latest industry standards and design. The statute 553737F basically requires that the commission may not, which means the TAC may not also recommend, anything that would diminish the provisions related to the wind resistance and water prevention provisions of the Florida Building Code. And a change for this cycle and only related to code changes is that the TAC voting threshold has changed from 75% to two-thirds. The commission's remain 75%. The TAC is 75% for everything but code-related, but for this process, it'll be the two-thirds. The TAC recommendations will be forwarded to the commission, and the commission will consider those pursuant to rule, statute, and their adopted procedures for the same. Does anybody have any questions on the TAC I-code review process? Okay. Then I'm going to assume there aren't any, and I'm going to turn it over to Tom Campbell.
All right. I just wanted to address a few points for the review. This is a significant undertaking for the staff to tax the stakeholders and the commission. We plan to make the materials for the review available in early May, so everyone has enough time to go over the materials before your TAC meetings. You should come to the TAC meetings already having reviewed the materials and with an initial idea of which of the I-code changes, if any, you plan to recommend for approval. The TAC approval process is going to move very quickly, and there will not be time to allow people to read a code change and all the accompanying information for the first time at a meeting. I'd also like to discuss the criteria for recommending approval of an I-code change. In order to recommend an I-code change for approval, it must be shown that the change is necessary to accommodate a specific need of the state. The commission has defined a technical amendment that's needed to accommodate a specific need of the state in Rule 61G20-2.002 in items A through F. You'll be able to find a copy of those on the bottom of the tracking charts, and there's also one in Jeff's instructions on how the process is going to work. And then we also included a highlighted copy of the rule for you in the materials under the matrix. These are the justifications that should most often be used when recommending approval of an I-code change for inclusion in the next version of the building code. Lastly, what we really want to capture inside of this review is the big ideas and changes to the I-codes that protect the health, the safety, and welfare of the citizens of Florida. The review process should be focused on finding those changes to the I-codes that lead to stronger, safer, and better structures. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Is there any general public comment? Is there any general TAC comment? I'm going to go back to the code admin TAC and conduct a closing roll call. Commissioner Gerwig?
Here.
Commissioner Bahadori?
Here.
Hamid, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Very good.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Boyer?
Here.
Commissioner Brown?
Here.
Assuming Commissioner Gilson's still not on, but Commissioner Goff? Rick, are you on?
Yes.
Yeah, now I do, Rick. Okay. Michael Guarazio?
Here.
Linda Patrick for John O'Connor?
Yes.
Commissioner Worrell?
Here.
Very good. We have the same eight we had originally. Commissioner Gerwig, if you, sir, would adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, everyone, for participating and staff for putting everything together. At this time, we stand adjourned.
Thank
you, sir. All right. I'm going to go now over to the fire TAC and do the same thing. Commissioner Bahadori?
Here.
Tony Applebeck? Tony? Joe Belcher?
Here.
Commissioner Gross?
I'm still here.
Commissioner Homburger?
Here.
Joe Holland, did you ever join?
Yep, I'm here.
All right. Commissioner Joe, just for questionary purposes, did you vote on the, were you here to vote on the draft interim report?
Yes, I'll be here for a minute.
That's a yes. Okay, very good. So we add one more. Commissioner Schiffer.
Still on.
Commissioner Schock.
Here.
Peter Schwab.
Here.
And just checking one more time, is Tony Applebeck on? All right, well, we have eight members of the nine who we had initially. So I'm going to now turn it to Commissioner Bahadori to adjourn the meeting. Commissioner?
Entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Schiffer moves.
Schock second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Bye-bye.
The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.